Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 114, part 2. Are you walking with a wound in your side? Today is Sunday, September 13, 2009. Thank you for joining the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of September in Minnesota is absolutely perfect. How can that be? Every month in Minnesota is perfect. Well, because every month is just a little bit different than the last, and they all have such great qualities. September is so nice because it starts to turn cool in the evening, but you have beautiful sunshine, and it's just so nice during the day. So it's the very end, really, of summer in Minnesota. And so we just start to change and kind of get ready for the fall, and the leaves start to drop at the end of the month. We start off in Minnesota, Labor Day celebration. The state fair is over. The state fair is incredible. It's always the beginning at the end of August and the beginning of September. So we kick off September with the end of the state fair, the great Minnesota get-together. And then I had to kind of ponder a little bit about Labor Day, and some of the things that came to my mind were Love's Labor's Lost. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes. It has nothing to do with Pastor Paul's messages, just a play that Pastor Paul and I went to see at the Shakespearean Festival in Winona, Minnesota. We go every year. This was our sixth year. We've been going each year for 6 years. And it's just an incredible festival. And if you do get to Minnesota and you're able to go to Winona, it is fantastic. Love's Labor's Lost, our play for September. And then I thought about moms and babies, labor. So I have a link to Dr. Fernand Lamaz, a book I carried around with me for 9 months while I was anticipating labor with my daughter Jade. Be sure to check that out. And then Labor Day, of course, I have a link there. And then finally, the best link of all is to Ecclesiastes, the preacher. In Ecclesiastes, he talks about human wisdom, education, power, servants, wealth, pleasure, religion, temperance, the length of days. And his final conclusion is that all is vanity and a chasing after wind, and nothing brings satisfaction. You know that song, I can't get no satisfaction? All of that brings us to the grave. But whoever lives for any other purpose other than the glory of God is doomed to disappointment. God and His will are the highest good for any who want the best in life and desire the highest possible achievement. I'm going to get on with a couple quick announcements and we'll get right into the message. Pastor Paul's messages this month, there are 4 of them. We start out with Evil Bees Are Swarming. And then, are you walking with a wound in your side? 2 loaves, Eros and Agape. Let us look upon the faithful. Those are the messages in September. And also, you know, we're coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Be sure to call us if you need groceries, if you're living in a household of 2 or more, a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof. Call us Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. So be sure to call us. The link will be in the show notes. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find all kinds of links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, Twitter, just all kinds of social media. Get involved in our community online. You can also email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org. I will leave links to Love's Labor's Lost, Dr. Fernand Lamaze, Labor Day in Minnesota, Ecclesiastes, the Preacher, and scripture links are always in the show notes. Be sure to have a great month of September. Come to see us in Minnesota. God bless you.
Says he suffered, leaving us for an example to follow. Have you ever had a person as an example sometimes? Say that you have these kids, or it has a limb cut off. And so they see someone, and this guy comes over to talk to him. He talks about his limb that was cut off and what he did. And then he just says, yeah. And he comes up to the hospital, and he says, yeah, this here. I had trouble with it walking at first, but now I strap it on. I get around pretty good. And having gone through it and enduring it, he's got something to say. He can tell this young man how. And he can also tell him why some of these things happened. It changed his whole life, and this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that. And he can be an encouragement to him. See, I believe pastors, are you listening now? Are you listening? I believe pastors that go through a suffering in their particular type of ministry, and everybody trying to tell them to do something else, and they go on doing that, and they suffer patiently for the glory of God, they will become a blessing. They'll be able to tell other pastors how. You hang in there, pastor. Because by what we have suffered comes a ministry of compassion. It's sort of like the story of the berry in the mouth. Now in Africa they had this sort of like a little sweet berry. And you hold this in your mouth and it sweetens the taste of everything you eat. You could eat lemons and it would taste sweet. That's kind of like us. We have the power to change every calamity into an opportunity. That power to use everything is the berry that sweetens the most bitterest calamity. So how about getting music out of life's remainders? See, there's always some kind of remainders. Seems like a lot of times you just live in remainders. It's kind of like you're the second kid, and then you get the remainders of the other kid's clothes. But you know you can do a whole lot with remainders. My dad in the cafe, when they had roast beef, roast pork, they had all kinds of different things. Well, he would mix up a meatloaf out of what remained. And people say, you know what? That is the best meatloaf I ever tasted. When are you going to have that again? Oh, I'll probably have it towards the end of the week again. But he got it out of all the remainders. Stuff that looked like you should just throw it out. Just a little scrap of this and a little scrap of that. Sometimes it looks like you got to start something out of the remains, up out of the ashes, so to speak. Sometimes you feel wasted and there's nothing hardly that remains. And then whatever remains, build on that. You can gather them all up and make music out of them. Sometime back, I knew this most beautiful girl. She was about 19 years old, and she was going with a young man. They're on their way to church. This young guy had just been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, come out of witchcraft. And they were driving along, and they crossed this road. This truck didn't see him. It was a great big produce truck or a milk truck or something. And wham! They were going to be married the next week, and the guy was instantaneously killed. And this most beautiful girl had her face totally smashed. The eye was like this, and it was just terribly disfigured. And I went up to see this girl. She's breathing out of a hole in her neck. You know what? She went to work that way with a disfigured face, an eye drawn down, mouth stitches all over, and a hole in her neck. You know what she was telling other people? She says, you know, while I was in the hospital, I really got to know Jesus Christ. I ministered at the funeral, and 10 people were saved over, I had an altar call, over the young man's casket. And 10 people came to know Jesus Christ over the top of that casket. A lot of times as a Christian, you know, I have reached the end of my rope. Tie a knot in it. And hang on. In Revelations, it speaks of silence in heaven. I thought, you know what? I a lot of times in ministry feel that God... Have you ever been in a time where it's real silent and it seems like nothing's happening? That is when everything is busting loose. Do you know what God is doing? He's shifting the scenes. Curtains drawn, and all the stagehands are getting all the stuff on there, and they move this thing out here, and they move this thing over there, and they put a tree over here, huh? Put a car over here. And they do all these things, and they shift the scenes. Sometimes when it's real, real quiet, doesn't look like nothing is happening, God is shifting the scenes. God is getting ready for another curtain. It says that the warring angels in heaven are waiting silently. Whatever that you bind down here is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose down here is loosed in heaven. Whenever there's a victory down here, there's a victory over the devil in heaven. It's almost like so many demons are wiped out every time you take command of it down here in the name of Jesus. It says in the Bible, behold, a great cloud of witnesses are watching. You know what they're watching? For the how of God. How is God going to work this one out? This guy is rebellion in itself. How is God going to work this one out? Is it even worth it? Those silent suffering spaces in your life may be God getting you ready for the next act. Maybe he's got you in the wings someplace. Over here in the wings, not up front, you're in the wings waiting for the next act. Five minutes to a curtain. You might have been sitting in there for 2 weeks, and then just like it was nothing. 5 minutes to curtain. Are you ready? Or are you going to sit in there and say, why? 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 I've been waiting 2 weeks. Now you say 5 minutes. Well, it's 2 weeks and 5 minutes. Don't ask why. Just ask how. Get the script. Go on out and do what you're told to do. Read it out. Live it out. Walk it out. Go on through. Hold on to the knot and your rope. Don't give up all of your hope and hang on, and the next act will come. It's always the next act. Isn't there? Isn't everything passing by? Isn't there always the next act? And this thing you're in right now, oh God, I'll never live through this. I won't live through it. I can't. This is the worstest ever been. This is the worstest, terriblest, most awfulest ever thing. How will God? Why, God? Huh? Did that right? And you know what? It'll pass. And while you're asking all those whys, you know what happened? You're still passing. You're 2 weeks older, or you're a month older, or you're 10 years older, and you're still passing on. I mean, time marches on, sonny boy. But for right now, grab a hold of all the dull, boring, routine moments and make them sort of sing. You mean you get bored down there at the mission with all them folks coming in and all them different kinds of people and stuff? You get bored? Yeah. Doesn't things get to be old hat always? You know why it gets boring? Because you are boring. Boring people have boring times. They're more commonly known as bores. There's a couple listening on the radio that are very boring. Listen. List all of the normally boring things that you do in your life, and then you're always asking God, why me, God? Oh, doing the dishes. A lot of housewives, they get up in the morning, and they got the, you know, them pop cans in their hair and great big dirty old slippers on and a house coat, and they're standing there looking like the, you know, some kind of army. And they're just standing there, you know, and they're saying, why? Why? I mean, they've already got kids that are 16, 17 years old, and they're still looking at the same dirty dishes saying, why? How many hearing this? Boring things like the laundry and boring things like vacuuming. Oh, I hate it. Or grocery shopping. Or PTA, or going to work. Ooh, I hate my job, I hate it. Ooh, and your job hates you. Or listening to your mate. Oh, people hate to listen to each other. They get so they hate the sound of each other's voices. And so they you ever see these movies where the wife is talking and the husband goes off and he goes back into France or someplace he was at and... In the army, you know. And I told her, and I said this, and I said that. He's way over here. And you know, when you minister, there's a lot of folks that do that too, because church is boring to them. You're thinking about something far removed from the Word of God and something far removed from doing the Lord's will, and they're thinking about it because it's become boring to them. And you know why it's boring? Because they are boring. It's not God. It's the people that are boring. Or visiting your mother-in-law. Going to school or getting on the bus. Oh, I hate to ride the bus. Oh, no, here comes that same person. He's going to sit by me. Oh, no. Now let's change this attitude and put it to music. Now you're standing there with your fluffies on, are you? And you're on the radio. You're standing with your fluffies there and your pop cans in your hair and your dirty old robe. Start singing to them dishes. I mean sing, I mean open up and sing. I love these dishes, yes I do. Love them cups and saucers too. Love these dishes, yes I do. Cups and saucers, yes I do. Ooh. Huh? Did you know you can change your whole attitude? Did you know that? See, it's up to you. It's what comes out of you that defiles you. Or the laundry. Isn't that boring? Oh, I love laundry. Yes, I do. I love laundry. Yes, I do. See, it's all in what you get out of it. It's what you're going to get out of it. It's what you put into it. Or grocery shopping. Hi, Mrs. Brown. Hi, Mr. Brown. Hi, 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 hi. Did you know that? It's your attitude. I tried it and it works. Now I leave here and I say, no, I just don't want to go down there. I don't want to go down to the I don't want to go up there and get a jar of mayonnaise, and I don't want to go up there and get some pickles, and because I don't know where to look for it. You know what? It's because you're too lazy. Look, there's signs in every aisle. But rather than look at the signs, you just go in every aisle like a trapped rat in a maze. You know why? Because I was bored. I didn't want to go to the Red Owl and go shopping. So I was mad, and I went, I was going to look up, and I looked, no. And then rather than look up the sign, I'd say, where is the meanies at? And the kids, I don't know. Huh? I think it's over there in aisle B, section 13. 4-2. I mean, you know, they give you directions. I mean, you know, see? And that's all because you're bored. If you went there with a different attitude, say, let's see now. Let's sign up there, okay? Ketchup? Oh, hi, Mr. Brown. Hi, Mr. Brown. Oh, meanies. That's it. Oh, that went real quick. Wow, I'm getting good at this. I actually did this. It's not too long ago. And ketchup. Ooh, look at this. Goodbye. And you take your card up there, and you got a different attitude, and you get up there, and all the people are standing there. Huh? You ever seen a meaner group of people than stand in line on the grocery line? I mean, registered on all of their faces is kill. I'm going to hear them when I'm preaching here tonight. I'm just giving you deliverance. And so I changed my whole attitude. Are you here and listening on the radio? Bored with shopping? Or vacuuming? Now, we got a gal comes in and vacuums, and she's got a method to it. She doesn't move real fast. It's June, but she's got a method. And before you know it, she does the whole floor out there. And then she's coming down the hall. You better get out of her way. And she's always smiling. Now, I don't know what she's thinking about, but sure gets that floor down, I'll tell you. And I said, well, June, see, it looks to me like you really enjoy doing this. Well, oh, I like to do the floor. Yeah, it's fun, you know. And I talked to the vacuum cleaner. She actually told me that. You know what? I tried it, and it works. It does. It works! I finally got a sweeper that worked, and I says, oh, I love you, because we got 14 sweepers, and one works. You're going to start talking to that one, right? But I'm talking about my whole attitude and going to work. Now, right up ahead of you is a traffic jam, see? And so many people go, they know that they can make it to work in 7 minutes, 30 seconds. You know what I mean? They got it down pat there. They know exactly. They get a rush in the door, and the brother goes, boop, and they go, click, ha-ha, made it again. You take off 10 minutes early, and when there's a traffic jam up ahead, you say, hi, traffic jam. Try it. You might as well say hi to it. It isn't going to go away, is it? Or listening to your wife, or listening to your husband. Now, in a lot of cases, I have to say this, against your will, start to say in your mind, I love you. You know what? It'll change. When you go to church, you have the attitude of, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I'm going to enjoy tonight. Oh, how I'm going to savor this message tonight. I'm going to leave all those things outside, and I am just going to hear the message tonight, and I'm going to be filled with the presence of God. Praise God. Tra-la, 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 tra-la. You know what will happen? You'll have an attitude of receiving. or riding the bus. You that have to ride the bus and are frustrated out of your minds. You get on that bus and you just, like I say, you put it to music like they do in these musicals. Ding, 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 went the trolley, da, 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 went, huh? And you just have fun by just changing your whole attitude. Say amen, somebody. See, what I'm saying here today, there are latent possibilities. They're all there in all of our life. They're laying there, and they're latent, but you got to pick them up, and you got to make something out of all them latent possibilities, and you got to go ahead and bring out of it what you will. I was looking at this hammer, and I said, you know, this hammer here will shatter this glass. If I just hit this glass here, it was on the bench, I said, it'll shatter it. And then it came to me. But it will also forge steel. I mean, the calamities that shatter some will forge you into character and into an achievement. The hard knocks in your life make you the character that you are, and you can achieve in it. The seemingly impossible things that are happening to you. Now let's turn here to Isaiah 37 and verse 3. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, rebuke, and rejection. For the children have come to birth, and there is no strength to deliver. And I read that and I thought, a lot of times I get into something, and I'm all ready to, you know, get it going and everything, but I don't have the strength to deliver. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear the words of Habakkuk, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reprove the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, offer a prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will, listen to it, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own hand. You don't have to worry about your enemy. God will take care of him. Praise the Lord. And all right, Isaiah 41 and verse 10 then. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be ashamed and dishonored. You don't have to get into these things. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. So you don't have to ask God why. Why are people angry at me? Why are people treating me this way? Why is this happening? And why is that happening? And why? Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. Those that were quarreling with you and giving you a hard time and busting you in the face, maybe, they ain't going to be around. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand. who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isn't that a good word? Wow. Isn't that a good word? Isaiah 42 and 16 then says like this, and I will lead the blind by the way that they do not know. In the past they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places in the plains, these are the things I will do. And I will not leave them undone. So don't worry about it and stop asking me why and just get on and I'll show you how I'm going to do it if you'll be obedient to my spirit, thus says the Lord. And so then getting back to the berry in the mouth that sweetens everything, you know what that is? I come to believe the spirit of courage and faith. That's the berry in the mouth. When you have the courage berry and the faith berry together, it is right inside of your mouth like that. Oh, I talked to some people with some real heavy things. They call them disabilities. And you know what? They're running businesses, doing things, painting with their teeth, typing with their feet. Jesus said, nothing outside a man can defile him. It is what comes from within that defiles him. Mark 7 and 15. Your reaction to what happens to you determines the result. And the heavier the trial and the heavier the test, the more you don't ask God, why did this happen? And you say, God, how do I go on to the next step? Something most beautiful will happen. And it happened this week, didn't it? Didn't it happen this week? Oh, down here we had some things, and I'll tell you, God got glory. Oh, and that's just the beginning and opening of doors for a sweet spirit to come in. You know what? You can make music out of misery, song out of sorrow, achievement out of accident. You can say to yourself, I cannot be beaten. I will turn everything good, bad, and indifferent into something else. No matter what happens to me, I can turn it into the best. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I know in myself I cannot do it alone, but with the Lord I can do anything. I can bear anything, go through anything. But without you, Lord, I fade. Lord, without you, I have no joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I have the Lord, everything is underneath my feet. Let me read some scripture here to you. This is out of Galatians 4. Listen to it. Starting in verse 13. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. But, now listen to this. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. In an afflicted, bodily affliction, he preached the gospel. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Now some would call that negative. I'd say this is positive when a person's in the middle of trial and suffering, and according to the perfect will of God, let's say, go into his own personal garden of Gethsemane, and while the rest of them are sleeping and rolling over and having nightmares, to say, how, God? Whew. I'd say that was positive. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked your eyes out and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendingly, but they wish to shut you out in order that you may seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you. Oh, glory to God, people. There is some suffering, but it's all for a purpose. Joel 2, then, in 25, listen. Then I will make up to you your years that the swarming locusts have eaten. I praise God for that scripture because I lost a whole lot of years. I lost, I believe, 39 and a half years of my life were lost. But God returned them to me. The creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. My great army which I sent among you. God sent it? Yes. And you shall have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You know what? You're going to appreciate it too. Because you had some hard times. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. But you didn't feel like it when you were going through them locust years, did you? Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am your Lord God and there is no other. And my people will never be put to shame. Oh, glory to God. And it will come about after this, I will pour my spirit on all mankind and their sons and their daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. And even in the male and the male servants, female and male servants, I will pour all my spirit in those days and I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. And we are speaking of this very age. And the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awful, awesome day of when the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. And we are in that time right now. We are right now running the last bit of this race. The return of Jesus Christ is right around the corner. Bible prophecy will be fulfilled even among the survivors. The Lord calls. Are you hearing this? God is calling together an army. Glory to God. I am so excited about what's happening here on the north side because God is calling an army together. And there are people coming in, being saved and filled by the Holy Ghost. God is using people as examples and is forming an army. And God's calling up, it says in the Bible, the low, base, perverted things of the world that the world calls perverted to what? Challenge the so-called wise. And then here we are in Philippians 1, starting in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren. Now, isn't that a good word? I want you to know that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Now, don't you see right there he was having a hard time. But he doesn't talk about, oh, why, God? Why did you have to do this to me? Why don't people like me? Why don't people support me? Why? Why are they throwing? This is the third time I've been buried under a pile of stones. I got lash marks all over my back, and everything's going wrong, and nobody loves me, and I God, why? And God says, for the greater progress of the gospel. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian guard, and to everyone else. Every guard knew him. They felt like they were in prison and he was free. So don't you see he's working right out of a circumstance and you can do the same thing. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. Oh, when you go through a whole lot of things, it gets people to trust in the Lord. They look at you and say, well, hey, he's still alive. Now, all of his friends have circled him with 2x4s. Listen now. And they have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Oh, don't you see, when we persevere and we go on, it gives people encouragement. In Romans 8 and 29, listen to this. 8 and 28 will start. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. For those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. In verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his Son. God wants you to become conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestinated, these he also called. And whom he also called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, he does the whole thing. So you don't have to stand around asking God why. Just ask God how. What then shall we say for these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? Who will bring charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus. He is the one who died, yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written. Listen now. For thy sake we are being put to death all day long, and people don't like that. But see, here is a willing spirit speaking. For your sake, Lord, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things we are overwhelmingly conqueror through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you start to really get rooted and grounded in the love of God, and you start to walk ahead and you say, Lord, show me how to get out of this mess. I'm not going to sit down here like a spoiled brat and just yell, why me? Why'd you do this? And Lord, I just want to know how. I am willing to go to the very death. I have given my life as a sacrifice. Lord, I have nothing to lose because I've given my life. And all them people are wondering, why are you doing this? Well, it's no big thing. I've already given my life. What is there more to give? Oh, people, preachers listening, give your whole life to Jesus. Don't hold none of it back. Let me close with this. Are you hearing this tonight? Let's start to make all things work together for good. Just get out there and start to make it work together. You make it work together for good. How do you do that? Well, you just do it by saying, God, how do I make this work together for good? Don't try to make it work together on your own, because you'll just be a phony and people see through it anyway. Your old smile, you know, it's a half a smile, it's sort of a smirk. Be like that eagle. Did you ever see an eagle when he gets in trouble? When he gets up in the wind? He doesn't lay his wings down like this. He goes into a power dive. He tilts them. Did you ever hear the world? The world is so smart, they got so many sayings that are right on key with the Bible. They say, well, you got the wrong slant on things. The eagle picks the right slant, and he brings his wings up like this, and he rides. When he's in trouble and he's in a storm, he rides. He just gets up and he rides on top of it. That's what you got to do, preacher, listening on the radio, and that's what you people got to do, all of you sitting here tonight, and all you housewives sitting there with your hair up in them old pop cans there and them fluffy old dirty slippers on. You got to rise above it. You got to rise above it and stop complaining about that husband. You got to rise above it and stop complaining about the kids and stop asking God why you're in this mess. You've been married for 15 or 20 years. Now you're still asking why? Why don't you live it? You're making everybody else miserable sitting there with your great big lips hanging out like two limp pieces of calf liver. And I just want to tell you right now that you look most unbecoming, and it's a wonder your husband even comes home at all. Ask God how. Ask God how. God is working it all out. Did you hear this message tonight? I said here tonight, just let me say this in closing. We are working from, let's say, a victorious vitality that masters all circumstances. And a victorious vitality is a vitality capable of mastering everything because it can use everything. It can use defeat. It can use somebody's bad mouth. It can use attitudes of people towards you. I mean, even when you have a bad attitude and you get convicted and you change, you can even use that and say, Lord, I was a terrible failure yesterday. What can I pull out of that mess? And God will show you something to bring out. You can make a meatloaf out of all of those things, all those scraps that are left over. Whew. You can grab a hold of all of these things that we talked about here tonight. All these materials of human living. All the pain and all the pleasure and all the justice and all the injustice and all the compliment and all the criticism. And take them into the purposes of our own lives and transmit them into character and transmit them into usefulness. There is no one that's any good that hasn't been through some kind of suffering. Because they don't know what it's all about yet. Did you hear what I just said there? And oh, praise God, I hope we all learn that. The only way you're going to learn it is go through a great amount of suffering. You can turn all this gloom, so-called gloom in this world right now. Jesus called down from the cross. I've got to lift him up one more time before I quit here. He called out from the cross, my God. When it grew dark, he cried out, my God. Even when everything collapsed, my God. And he turned the gloom into glory. And so you let no sorrow and you let no suffering and you let no words from anybody or any disappointment. Remember last week I was talking and I mentioned it to Corey today. I said, oh God, I am so disappointed. And this was some time back. And I am so discouraged. And God says, well, who are you that you should never be disappointed? You something special? I mean, you're disappointed. Oh my. Interesting. You're discouraged. Well, who are you? Oh, God, let no sorrow and no suffering and no disappointment pluck those words out of our mouths. My God, when persecution comes, my God. My God, when you're hated in the house of your friends, my God, when death comes, my God, when you're hurt. My God, when you're successful. My God, when you're broke, and my God, when things aren't going just right. And let us, like Jesus on the cross in situations, say, my God. My God, how do I get out of this? And what do you want me to do? My God. A lot of times I get up in the morning, I moan in my spirit. And it just comes out, don't it, Jan? And I go like, oh. He says, well, what's wrong with you? You've got some kind of ache or pain? I says, no, it just came out. Well, it was just a groan. You know what? Then I know something's going to happen that day. It's a travailing in your spirit. And it's kind of like what I said here, saying, oh, my God. But it's also asking a question. How? How? How can I be Christ-like today? How can I help somebody today? How can I do something? Lord, show me how. I believe that this North Zion, as a corporate body, through a whole lot of different things, through Major sitting back here as an education is our goal, and through the Pillsbury neighborhood house, it's got that great camp up there, and through the hospitality house, and through up here Pilot City, and through the YMCA, and through all these groups of people, that come together and they just get down into prayer and they say, how do we work this one out, God? Show us how. That not only is this north side going to turn around, it's going to be an example to the whole world. It really is. That's exciting, isn't it? You know how it's going to happen? By people that don't stand around asking why. So if you tear